Good morning to everyone. God has been good once again. And I know that some of us, probably have had a rough week. But God has seen you through the week, has He not? And you've come through unscathed. Might have a little bit more wear on you. But as you live in this life, you're going to get worn. There's no way of getting out of this life without getting worn. And this morning, before we get started, I want to just make this one announcement. The Williams family lost their uncle on Friday night, and the funeral will be in Memphis on next week. So if you have an opportunity, give the Williams family, that's Sister Barbara and Jerome, a call, and just let them know that you are aware that they're going through something right now. You know, a phone call can mean so much to so many. Just a simple matter of picking up the phone and say, how are you doing? I can't do anything about your situation, but I want you to know that I know about it. That's what a phone call does. So if you remember, give the Williams a call this week. Now let us go to God in prayer for a moment. O righteous and heavenly, wonderful Heavenly Father, it is good to be here this morning, O Lord, because we didn't have to be here. It is good that you have blessed us, O Lord, that we are here. It is good, Father, that you gave us what we needed to be here this morning. And I thank you, O Heavenly Father. And I come praying this morning, thanking you most of all because it was your Son, Jesus, who went to yonder's cross, hung, bled, and died on the cross that we might have the opportunity to the tree of life. I thank you, O Heavenly Father, and I pray for the Church of Christ, but in particular, churches of Christ everywhere, but in particular, this local congregation. I pray for our leaders here and their families. I pray for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. I pray for their families as well. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all of those that are going through whatever they may be going through right now, Father. But if we can just reach out and just let them know that we care enough, maybe that will help relieve some of the pressure that's up on their shoulders, O Lord. Father, I thank you that you have blessed us to be able to come together as a family in the Church of Christ, O Lord, that we are able to reach out and just be able to touch the hem of your garment, if you will, O Lord. Just be able to say thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. I pray, O Heavenly Father, for the sick among us, for those who are here sick and those who are not here that are sick. Pray for those who may be in the hospitals everywhere, O Lord. Pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who have lost loved ones and pray that they be strengthened by knowing that you care about them just the same, O Lord. I pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who may still be on their way, if it be your will, give them a space and time to get here, O Lord, without any hurt, harm, or danger. We're praying for those who may be traveling today, whether they've reached their destination or still on the way. We pray for their safe passage and pray for their safe return. We pray and thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all those who have been going through whatever it is they're going through. And we pray for an easing of that pressure once again, O Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father. And we pray and thank you, Father, for those who lead this world in which we live. We just pray that they would do the right things and do things that are acceptable in thy sight. We pray for our services this morning that the things that we have been done so far may be acceptable in thy sight. And we pray that the things that we shall do may also be acceptable. We pray this morning, Father, for those who have not had an opportunity to meet thee. If it be your will, O Lord, give them that space and time. And Lord, we just owe you so much. And sometimes we owe you so much, O Heavenly Father, that all we can simply do is say, but thank you. And so thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. Thank you for those who are in need, those who have been fulfilled of their needs. And thank you, Father, for those who shall be fulfilled. We pray and ask you now, my Heavenly Father, to go with us, watch over and keep us. Be with these services this morning. And Father, when we are all have reached the last mile of that way that we're going, help us to become children of God in your kingdom. These and all other blessings we continue to ask in the name of your Son, Jesus. Let us all say, amen. This morning from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting around verse number 5, we'll take our text this morning. And our text this morning is called contentment. Contentment, taken from that sixth verse 1 Timothy 6 and verses 5 through 10. This morning, I don't know about you, and I know that you probably have had somewhat of a rough week, many of you, and sometimes I find myself when I'm trying to put together something, I don't know if it'll help somebody out there, but I hope it does, but it certainly is going to work on me this morning. And you say, well, how do you know it's going to work on you? Well, I put it together, and it worked on me while I was putting it together. So this one might not be for you, but it's certainly for the preacher this morning. The preacher needs this. There are some things in the Christian life that many are lacking. Among those things are patience, love, wisdom, and the one I would like to speak on this morning, and that is contentment or being content. Before anyone gets a wrong impression, let me say this. There's never anything wrong with striving to better yourself. What is wrong is when you have all your needs supplied and you constantly groan. You're not content because you don't have what your neighbors have. You know, and that's a serious situation with some of us, because sometimes you don't know exactly what your neighbor has. Outwardly, he or she may have a lot, but inwardly they may be suffering. And what good is it if you've got a lot of money, but you've got something that can't be solved with money? And I know what we say, money will take care of everything, but it won't. Money will not take care of everything. The text for today teaches us on that word contentment. So first of all, let us decide what is contentment. The word contentment is from a Greek word meaning sufficiency. And if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8, we'll find where the Bible says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So contentment is the disposition of mind in which one is by the grace of God independent of outward circumstances. In other words, you've got your needs supplied. What more can you ask for? When one is envious, it creates envy. And when one is envious, it creates battlegrounds. And then battlegrounds bring on strife, and strife brings on confusion. And you know what James said in chapter 3 and verse number 16, where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. If you have money and are using a portion of it towards God's work, it can be a blessing. But I want you to watch this in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 17. Whosoever has the world's goods and seeth his brother have need and has no pity on him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How can you say you love the Lord when you've got more and someone else has less and you see that they're in need? That particular verse has a question mark at its closing. And that question mark simply means one thing. Whenever you see a question mark, that's asking you to think about something. That's asking you to answer something, if you will. The question mark for you this morning is, are you content? Are you full of contentment? Or are you just walking around moping because somebody else has more than you? Well, I got news for you. There will always be somebody with more than you. There will always be somebody with something that you don't have. And sometimes, you, as I told you earlier, you don't want what that somebody may have. But then when you go to the scripture of 1 Timothy chapter 6, and look at verse number 8 for a minute. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, in the verses 8, look what it says. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. If you've got food and you've got clothing, what else do you need? But then when you go back and you go up to verse number 7, look at verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. So you accumulate all the wealth in the world. You remember Howard Hughes, don't you, how much wealth he had, and he thought he could take it with him, but he could not take it with him. He could not take it with him. He wanted to be frozen so that in later years he could come back as Howard Hughes all over again. But I got news for him. And I got news for all of us. When you leave this world, you're not coming back to this world. You're done with this world. So when you think about it, when you have food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And to those who can't part with their worldly goods, including their money, I want you to remember what the verse says in verse number 7. For once again, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I don't care what you came in here with, you're not going out with any of it. I don't care what you've accumulated while you're here, you're not going out with any of that accumulation. And I know we like to save money, and there's nothing wrong, as I said earlier on, there's nothing wrong with trying to better oneself. It's not the problem of what you accumulate, it's how you act with what you have accumulated, what you do with what you have accumulated. So in order to be content, the next thing we must do, we must have a relationship with Jesus. Many today have come to the realization that being content is much better than being rich and discontent. Much better than being rich and discontent is much better. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, in the verse number 5, look at it. Perverse disputings of men and corrupt mind and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Discontentment is the opposite of being content or contentment. And when you look at that verse, to those who think that gain is godliness, they are so far from the truth. And verse number 5 tells you that. They are destitute of the truth, according to verse 5. We can't make God's word to become the vehicle of our corruption. And as a matter of fact, the text tells us to get away from those kind of people. So when you think about it, church, look at the verse number 5 again. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, and from such withdraw yourself. But then in verse number 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment. In other words, are you content with what you have? Can you live with what you have? And I got news for you. If you answer no, I can't live with what I have, I got news for you. You can either live with it or you can die without it. And then that means that when your relationship is right with the Master, a little can seem like a lot. When you've got a little, that's all right, because God will see you through no matter what you're going through. That means when your relationship is right with the Master and that little becomes a lot, when you have enough to get through, what more do you need? That's the question. And then in Psalms chapter 37 and verse number 16 through verse number 18, the Bible says, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. And then note verse number 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. So a little bit is better than the riches of many wicked men. So if you got your gain through godly measures, then you're all right with the Lord. It may not be a lot, but just think about it. If you go into the restaurant and you order your food, and the waiter comes and brings you your bill, and he says the bill is $20. If you've got $21, well, let me just rephrase that. If you've got $25, you got enough to give the waiter a tip, and you got enough to get by on. So what more do you need? You filled your belly and you got money to pay for. But some of us, oh no, that's not enough. We want more, and the world cries out each and every day that more is better, and less is not good. But I got news for you. That scripture in Psalms just told us that a little of a righteous man is better than the riches of many. A relationship with men cannot offer that kind of a promise. How can we speak on contentment without going over to the book of Philippians? And you know where I'm going. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 11. How can you think about contentment without seeing what the apostles write? He says, not that I speak in want, in respect of want, for I have learned. And this is where we need to come in at. I have learned when whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. We've got to learn to be content. Learn to be content with what God has already given us. Learn to be content with what we have and not wish upon what somebody else has. Isn't that right, church? I have learned, he said, in whatsoever state I'm in. That means if I don't have much, I've learned to be content. If I've got a little bit more, I've learned to be even more content. But then what is he telling us? Not that he was necessarily in want for anything, but he was content with what he had. And more importantly, he had a relationship with the Lord that allowed him to depend upon God for his daily needs. If your daily needs are being met, what more can you ask for? And as I told you, this message is working well for me. I hope it's working for you, but if not, it's working on me. And me as a preacher, all that I'm concerned about is that I've reached somebody in the audience today. And I've reached somebody already. And I hope I've reached you, but if not, I've reached myself. And I tell you something. Paul was a man that had went through a lot. But he was content with whatever state that he was in. Are you in the kind of relationship with God that makes you content that your needs will be met? Or are you having your daily needs met and still grumbling and groaning about not being, it's not enough. It's not enough. I just want a little bit more, Lord. Can you just help me when I go over here to the casino? Can you help me to win? Or can you help me when I go buy this lottery ticket? This Powerball ticket. We'll drive from here to the next state to get a Powerball ticket. And when we get that Powerball ticket, we want God to allow us to win the Powerball. God is not in the gambling business. God is true and God knows what His next move is. We are the ones that we don't know what our next move might be. But then, and I can just see some of us. I can see some of us, if we win the Powerball, you know what we're going to do. We're going to say goodbye to the church, most of us. We're going to say goodbye to the church, and I got enough money now, I don't need the church anymore. I don't care if the church sinks or swims. I'm going. I'm through with the church. I can buy me a church if I want to, but you can't do that. You must learn to be whatever you have, to be content with such. What's the difference? Are you in that kind of relationship that you can accept what God has given you? Or are you in that kind of relationship where I want more, 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 more? And as I said, and the world tells us that more is better. We must have a reliance on Jesus. When we have been tested and tried as Christians, we will be in a better position to understand that God will not fail us. Look at verse number 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And let me tell you what he's talking about. When we put emphasis on giving or gaining the wealth and the wealth things of this world, we become resolved to that. We easily fall into temptation. You know, I did so well last Sunday when I went out that I don't think I'm going to go to church today. I made so much money last week when I went out, and it wasn't even my regular work day, but I went out anyhow. I skipped church to go out and made some money. That's because that person wasn't content. When we put that emphasis on gaining those wealthy things of the world and we fall into temptation, that causes destruction and perdition. If your love for the world's riches outweigh your reliance on God, you are headed toward destruction. And Satan, let me tell you something about him. Satan has a great supply of bait and hook tactics. Oh yeah. He's got plenty of them. And he will deploy them on us at any given time. This is why we are warned in verse 10 of what money can do. Look at verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Not some evil, but all evil. Which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm just simply saying if you love money more than you love the Lord, you've already fell into a trap. When we follow after righteousness, just go down one verse and I'll be there right there shortly. When you follow after righteousness, watch what the text says. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Didn't I tell you at the beginning that we'd like some things? And here the Bible is just confirming that we like those things. If we're going to be godliness, have godliness, we must follow and have those things. When you have all your needs supplied, and I asked you before, what else do you need? When you drink a glass of water and you are filled up of your thirst, you no longer need to ask for a pitcher of water. Isn't that right? You have been content because you have gotten a glass of water. And I know what some say. I just like to keep an extra amount around with me so that when I need it the next time, it'll be there. Well, be content with what you've gotten for this time and worry about the next time later on. When you fill up on a hot dog, do you still need a lobster tail? When you fill up on a fish sandwich, do you still need crab meat? I don't think so. If you're full, you're full, and I don't think your stomach knows the difference. I think that's why some of us overeat. We think we need something else. And then we don't understand when the doctor tells us we've got to lose weight. The woman, do you remember the woman who met Jesus at the well in Samaria? She came for water in John chapter 4, around about verses number 28 and 29. But she left her water pot, traded them in for the water of everlasting life. This woman had a somewhat troubled past, but she relied on the Word of God. Look what she said in verse number 29 of John chapter 4. She said, come see a man which told me all things I ever did. Jesus knows your whole life, the ins and outs of your life. He knows what you did when you were 16 years old, and most of us can't even remember what we did when we were 16. Unless you're only 20. Then you might remember, but when you get on up there, you can't remember. Sometimes you have trouble remembering what day of the week it is. But that's all right. When you think about what this woman said, she said, come see this man who told me all the things I ever did. And I asked the question of you this morning, what would you give up to meet the Christ? What would you give up or what would you trade for everlasting life? The apostle wrote in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 8, he said, I count all things but loss for the knowledge of Christ Jesus. I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Will you give it up for Christ? And some folk don't want to give up nothing. They want to say, I'm a Christian, but they want to live the same life that they lived before they came to being a Christian. You can't live like you live recklessly and without abandonment when you come in to be a child of God. God may test us, but He'll never fail us. God may test us, but He won't leave us. God may send storms our way, but He also sends joy in the morning. He is the same God whose hands were nailed to the cross for us. The same God who died for us. And the same God who arose for us. The same God who answers prayer. The same God who works miracles. The same God who supplies all of our needs. So where do you stand with that God this morning? Not any God, but the same God. Are you standing with Him? Are you going in righteousness? Are you grumbling about, I don't have this and I don't have that? Where are you at this morning? Where are you at this morning? If you are discontented, you need to meet the God who is still calling us to come. You may find contentment. And I know my time is running kind of short here. And I'm just about through this morning. And if I'm not through, I'm going to be through anyway. But I tell you something. Today you don't have to give up everything you have like Paul spoke of. You only have to give up those things which keep you a guilty distance from God's throne of grace. Do you need to give up something today? Do you need to ask the Lord to give you more and give you more of what He wants you to have and not more of what you want to have? And I tell you something, church. When you allow God to lead your life, you'll understand some things better. When you allow God to lead you in your life, you understand that God must be the king and you must be the servant. You'll understand that God must be the boss and you must be the worker. You'll understand that God is omnipotent. You'll understand that God is the God who made this world. Now you say, well, preacher, I built my house. Where do you think the materials came from? You may say, I bought my car. Well, what do you think the materials came from to make that car? That same God that I spoke to you of a minute or two ago. That's the same God. And God doesn't need your car, by the way. Some folks think that if I get a nice car, God is going to be pleased with me. Well, He's not mad at you because you have something nice. But some folks want to throw that up in front of God and say, Lord, I got this car for you. No, you didn't. You got that car for you. You know the story that I always tell, how I've waited for 40 years to get the car that I drive on an occasion. Well, when you have waited so long, God will eventually come through. He may not come through when you want Him to come through, but God is surely going to come through. I told you, He may test you, but He won't fail you. He may send some storms your way. But you've got to deal with those storms. You've got to deal with whatever the storm is. And I know that some storms are worse than others. Sometimes in your life it seems as though if I can't get out of this storm, ain't nothing ever going to be right. But God will see you through that storm. You know how I know? Because God saw the storm before it came your way. And He sees the end of it before it leaves you. And as I always like to tell folks, you may not be in a storm now, but one is coming your way, or you just got out of one. And you say, well, preacher, I've never really had a storm in my life. My kids act up all the time. Well, that's a storm. My wife or my husband won't act right sometimes. That's a storm. The job is not treating me right. Well, that's a storm. But I tell you something. God can see you through that storm. You've just got to learn, like Paul said, to be content. If you've got enough, you don't need any more. If you've got just what you need, you don't need any more. If you've got clothes to put on your back, no matter what I think about your clothes, you may not dress to my taste, but then I may not dress to your taste. But as long as you got the clothes you need, you got food on your table. Whether it's toast and jam or whether it's filet mignon, doesn't make any difference. But then some will say, well, preacher, I've been sick for a while. Well, sickness comes. But God can see you through. He may not remove that sickness from you, but He can give you strength to go through that sickness. Do you remember in Gethsemane? What did Jesus pray for? He prayed that this cup does what? That this cup pass from me if it be your will, Lord. But the cup didn't pass from Him. But guess what? What did He get? He got strength to bear. That's what He'll give us, strength to bear. Now, I know that you've been through some things because I'm going through some things myself. Now, I may not get through what I'm going through, but God will give me the strength if I just ask Him to help me to bear whatever it is. Well, preacher, it seems as though every time I get myself one foot up straight, look like I fall back on my other foot. But that's life. God they say is not, someone said that God is not going to put on you more than you can bear. And I know sometimes you want to ask the Lord, are you sure I can bear all of this? Sometimes you want to say, Lord, just give me a little time to get over that last incident that occurred. And I'll be all right. And then when that next incident occurs, you're going to say the same thing. That's the nature of being a human. And the Lord knows about it already. So you must learn to be content with whatever you have. And if you can't learn to be content, then you'll live and die being a discontented person. And for those who think that they're not going to die because I got too much to die, I got news for you there too. God has appointed all of us a death. Not just any death, but your death and my death. He has appointed each one of us that same thing. And so no matter how much money you've got in your piggy bank or in First National Bank, God is going to get you one day. And somebody told me, well, I can run pretty fast. But yes, you can outrun death. Death has caught up with all of the people that we have read about. One person lived 969 years old, according to the Old Testament. But guess what? In Genesis, doesn't it tell you, and he died. So death doesn't take a break to catch you. Death is going to catch you. He doesn't need to be winded. He's got enough wind that he catches up with you. But I tell you something. I like the fact that God is able because he tells me in his word that joy comes in the morning. So when you think about it, church, contentment is something that we all need. And I'm going to close now. When you are content, you can affect me because you've got a bubbly personality usually when you're content. You don't let nothing bother you. And you know, my sister asked me just a few days ago. She called me on the phone and I wasn't up yet. I was asleep. So I called her right back. No, she called me right back. And she said, do you stay up all night? I said, why you ask me, do I stay up? She said, because when you get up and get on the phone and you've been asleep, she said, you still sound like you've been up. You sound so bubbly. And the reason I sound so bubbly is because I got a Father, which is in heaven, who can take care of everything for me, no matter what I'm going through. My Father is able to get me through. Yes, the Lord is able. And if you don't know him, you ought to want to make it up in your mind to meet him. And if you don't know how to meet him, I'm going to tell you how to meet him. You meet him right here at the Church of Christ. You can meet him once you become a member of the Lord's body. Then you can be out on the street. And you know there's such danger in the street. You ought to be praying every time you go out in the street. But you can meet him out there in the street because he'll watch over you. You can meet him on the bus. You can meet him on the train. And if you're ever going on a trip and you're flying an airplane, he'll be there too. If you take a cruise, he'll be on the water there with you as well. So how do I get to know this God that you've been talking about this morning, preacher? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But I did that 25 years ago, but where you been in those last 25? What have you done in those last 25 years? Do you need to come back to the Lord? Do you need to ask the Lord for his forgiveness of something or somewhere or some way that you went astray? Ask him for that. Then come before the church. And don't ever be ashamed to come before the church. Because you're asking somebody to pray for you, but then you're ashamed. And some of us, and I'm not talking about anybody here, but some of us, we'll get up before the church and make a confession. Now, if I'm sitting in the back row, I don't know what I'm praying for you for. But you're asking me to pray for you. So when you stand up before the church, speak your mind. You don't have to say what you've done. But you need to ask the church, Lord, church, I've sinned. I've asked the Lord to forgive me. But I'm asking you to pray for me. And if you want me to pray for you, or whoever in the church is praying at that time, you let them know that you want them to pray for you. Learn contentment. And once you've learned contentment and you become a member of the Lord's body and you stay that way, you can eventually go home with the Lord if you live faithfully for the rest of your life. This is the message this morning as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.